This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 22 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Guys, it happened. As I've said time and time again, you don't listen to this podcast for my hockey takes. I get it. But let me just have this. The Penguins are Stanley Cup champions once again, back-to-back, 2 years, two cups, and this guy, I'm pointing to myself right now, the host of the Late Round Podcast, is very, very happy. Being a fan is an incredible thing. The bond you share with strangers, the ups and downs you experience watching your favorite team, it's why people love sports. And I think it's healthy for you guys to know me. If you're going to take advice from me and listen to me in a podcast form, why not know me a little bit? Why not know that despite not living there anymore, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, graduated from the University of Pittsburgh, and am a full-fledged Yinzer aside from the fact that I don't have the standard Pittsburghese accent? And when you're from Pittsburgh, sports are a part of you. Had I not been born there, who knows if my love for sports would have led me to a job in sports? I legitimately have no idea because that's how big of an influence and an impact that city made on me. When I celebrate something like the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup, people might not understand it. But being a fan of that team is just part of who I am, which is why I get excited and tweet about my pants coming off when they score big goals in the playoffs. Fandom, as long as there's perspective, and that's really important here, is an amazing thing. And so is being a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins. Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Let's get it. Woo! All right, back on topic here. Years ago, and I'm talking pre-Crosby era days, Football Guys owner Joe Bryan created a fantasy football draft system and strategy that's virtually used everywhere nowadays called value-based drafting. As Joe wrote, in its simplest form, the value of a player is determined not by the number of points he scores, but by how much he outscores his peers at his particular position. Today, this is something that a lot of fantasy owners immediately can comprehend, but back when Joe wrote this, it was new. It was a big deal. And the principles Joe wrote about have given fantasy analysts an awesome blueprint to kind of work off of. So when I talk about value-based drafting here, or VBD, please understand that I'm not in any way, shape, or form ripping Joe, who's a really, really awesome dude, one of the kindest human beings that I have met in the fantasy football industry. I'm merely taking the concept that he wrote about and explaining why, today, I don't fully agree with it. And a lot of you have asked me why I don't agree with it. And it's really not just Joe here. There are value over replacement player, or VORP, formulas everywhere in the fantasy football world, and their jobs are to essentially try and tell you who to pick and when to pick them. We even have a formula on NumberFire that's VORP related. But I don't really agree with them because they don't really capture the human element of fantasy football. Let me explain. With a VORP formula, you're essentially taking projections and finding the difference between a player's projected fantasy point total and the projection for a replacement level player. And the key here, obviously, is that you're comparing within positions. So if Aaron Rodgers is projected to score 400 points and a replacement level player is projected to score 300, then Aaron Rodgers has 100 points in value. Meanwhile, if Le'Veon Bell is projected for 350 points and a replacement level player at running back is projected for 300, then Bell has 50 points in value. As a result, if you were choosing between those players during your draft, you'd hypothetically go for the guy who has the largest point discrepancy between himself and the replacement level player at his position. For the record, I'm not saying that value-based drafters or VORPers are drafting like this. I'm merely saying that this is the highest level logic of a VORP-type formula and how it works. But there are four main issues when you draft this way. First and probably most obvious, VORP needs correct projections in the first place. We know that we're not working with perfect information and that our projections are going to be wrong. And during a fantasy football draft, you should plan for that variance. Sean Siegel talked about this aspect a lot on the Zero RB episode we did a couple of weeks ago. The Zero RB strategy seems like an arrogant one at the surface because it makes the assumption that you're really good at finding running back value. But it's actually the opposite. The idea surrounds the notion that we get things wrong all the time and we should play into this fact by selecting a more predictable position and one that doesn't get hurt as often. Projections are hard to perfect, you guys. Very, very difficult. And drafting with that as your backbone isn't going to fully capture the true variance within the sport. And some of that variance has to just do with luck. like injuries happening to players. So even if your projections are really, really good, you're still not capturing everything because it's impossible to capture everything. That's number one. Your projections might be wrong. Number two on the list of why I'm not a VORP guy is that choosing your baseline player to compare a player to is going to be inconsistent. You can look at baseline player in so many different ways. Do you look at the number of players drafted at a particular position in most drafts or the quote worst hypothetical starter in a league? The problem is that no matter how you choose that baseline player for comparison, you're bound to have errors in your VORP formula. Because not only is it subjective, but you have to make sure that your baseline comparisons also match across positions. For instance, let's say you choose these baseline players by noting how many of each one will be rostered in your 12-team league. Let's pretend that means QB 20 is the baseline QB, RB 50 is the baseline running back, and wide receiver 65 is the baseline wide receiver. These are completely made up numbers, but hear me out. If you get one of those wrong in comparison to another position, if your baseline player for quarterback, let's say, should be QB 30 rather than QB 20, then all of a sudden your VORP formula is off. Because if it's QB 30 and not QB 20, your quarterbacks are going to look more valuable in the early rounds. Quarterbacks become more valuable because that baseline player gets shifted down. So basically what I'm saying is thus far, VORP is taking a high variance aspect of fantasy football and projections and combining it with subjectivity and choosing the baseline player for each position. Inherently, it's a hot mess. But to add on to this, and this is number three for those counting, it ignores cost. Now, Joe Brian has amended his value-based drafting idea to incorporate average draft position, but VORP, in general, completely ignores cost. For instance, let's say the difference between Aaron Rodgers and a baseline quarterback is 200 points. When you're looking to select Aaron Rodgers, you might be looking at, say, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell to the replacement level baseline running back is, let's pretend, 180 points. In that scenario, VORP or VBD will tell you to pick Aaron Rodgers. He's the better player, because his point total is greater to his baseline player than Le'Veon's is to his. But what if Aaron Rodgers' baseline player is being drafted in round 10 while Le'Veon Bell's is being drafted in round 5? That means the 200 points is essentially being stretched through 10 rounds and Bell's is being stretched through 5, assuming that Bell and Rodgers are first round picks. So the opportunity cost in drafting Aaron Rodgers is greater. You're foregoing the better asset when you pick Rodgers strictly because of market value and cost. And the other point to this is that if your projections say a certain player is really good and should be selected 3 or 4 rounds higher than his average draft position, you're not exactly maximizing value, despite the fact that value-based drafting is supposed to maximize value. If you're ignoring market value when you're drafting and you're strictly drafting based on what your projections say, you're not squeezing out all the value you possibly can out of a player. Market value is insanely important. I like Kareem Hunt this year. Why would I draft Kareem Hunt in the 3rd or 4th round when I know that I can get him in the 7th? Why would I do that? The only reason I would do that is because I'm overly confident in my projections, and we know that projections will be wrong and that there is variance in fantasy football. Market value is an incredibly, incredibly important aspect to this stupid game that we love. The last point I want to make is one that I don't think is made enough. Fantasy points don't capture everything. I know this probably sounds weird, but fantasy points aren't everything when it comes to the value of a fantasy football asset. How the player accumulates those points is just as important. This falls into the predictability aspect of the game that I always try to preach. If a player, let's say, scores 100 points or is projected to score 100 points, and he gets 90 of those 100 points in 1 week, depending on your team construction, he's not necessarily as valuable as someone who scores 90 total points and gives you 20 points in 4 separate weeks. VORP-wise, the 100-point player is better. But your team may easily dictate that the more consistent asset, the 90-point player, is the better pick. A projection naturally does not tell us everything. It's the end result, but not the journey. On top of this, we know there is unquantifiable upside within players. I just did a podcast on handcuffs where I told you all that handcuffing is dumb, but I do see handcuffing as a nice complement to have within players, as I noted on the show. So I'll draft Tevin Coleman, for instance, because Tevin Coleman is good and my model likes him. That's not really true. My model doesn't love him, but I like examples. So I like Tevin Coleman, let's say. I want to draft Tevin Coleman because he's good. My model really likes Tevin Coleman. But we know that Tevin Coleman's upside won't be captured with projections because his upside hits if and when Devontae Freeman gets hurt. A fantasy point total, a fantasy point projection is not going to capture that. And the basis of value over replacement player drafting is based on fantasy point projections. It's based on fantasy points scored. To be fair and clear, though, like the ADP thing, VORP drafters recognize that deviating from the plan and the strategy is an okay thing to do. But at its core, it's another flaw in value-based drafting and why I just don't agree with drafting in that manner. So to recap, the four reasons I can't draft in a VBD way is because I know my projections aren't going to be flawless. I know, number two, that choosing a baseline player to compare a guy to is subjective. Number three, I care about market value. And number four, I know that there's more to a fantasy football asset than simply looking at fantasy points scored. But I can't stress this enough. I don't think a VBD exercise is a bad one to run through. It's good knowledge to have, and sometimes players really jump out and you can find values in that way. I just can't back it as being the way to draft, as a lot of people do. That'll do it for me, guys. Thanks, as always, for listening. If you're not subscribed to this show, you can search for it on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google Play, and it'll pop up. And if you have any questions for this week's mailbag episode, which will drop Friday, feel free to hit me up on Twitter at LateRoundQB or email me at jj@numberfire.com with your question. Take it easy, everyone.